great faith. Come with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew in the New Testament and chapter 15. You know, I was struck by someone's testimony this week that I heard. They shared that a mechanic uses all sorts of equipment and tools, wrenches, screwdrivers, all sorts of things that are used by a mechanic. But the testimony that I heard this week was of someone who used faith in a similar way. And it really struck me, it is possible for us to use faith as a mechanic uses his tools. Isn't that something? It's an interesting picture for us. But in Matthew 15 from verse 21, let's read together. It says this, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon," the coastal region. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David.'" Very interesting that this lady was from where? Canaan. And this lady was using Jewish language. It was the Jews who would use "Son of David." That's how a Jew would address Jesus. A Gentile would never address Jesus in that way. So this lady was aware of the language. She was aware of what was appropriate to address the rabbi, and she employed the Jewish language to address the rabbi. But look what happens. She uses that language, and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her, "Not a word." Not a word. So she's used manipulative language, really, trying to get a reaction from him. She's showing him great respect, but she's using Jewish language. She's pretending to be Jewish. And he doesn't answer her. 23 goes on, "And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" In the Greek, the word "cry" there is a word that is shrieking. She's like a crow would shriek. It's a horrible sound. And she just keeps on doing it. She's persistent. She keeps on crying. She hasn't done it once, and that was it. No, she just keeps on persisting, crying out to those men. In fact, she's crying out so much, they say to Jesus, "Look, send her away, please. She's giving us earache. Send this woman away." Sound familiar to anyone? She's really crying out. But look what Jesus says in verse 24. He answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he perceives that the woman is from Canaan. And he tells her clearly, "I'm not sent for you. I'm sent for those who are from the lost sheep, the house of Israel. I'm a Jew. I've been sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She She responds. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She leaves the pretense of using the Jewish language, trying to impress him, trying to be one of those from the Jewish background. She leaves all the pretense behind, and now she's gone into a different strategy. She recognizes, obviously, that Jesus isn't swayed by that, because first of all, he's ignored her. Then the disciples have responded, and then he says, well, I'm just sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she knows she's not getting through to Jesus. She's not going to win him this way. So now she goes into a different trend, and she humbles herself, really. If you think about it, she humbles herself, and she says, Lord, help me. I mean, let's cut to the chase, so to speak, to use the American phraseology. Lord, help me. That's what it boils down to. She needed help. And so she just says, look, help me. I think it's a great prayer. Lord, help me. It shows humility. No pretense. She's left it behind. But what does he say? I mean, you'd think, wouldn't you, possibly, that Jesus would say, oh, well, okay, she's changed from being pretentious, she's entered into humility, now I'll reward her. He doesn't do that. You'd think that Jesus might be pleased that, you know, she's made that change. You think that perhaps Jesus may say, yes, okay, let me respond to this woman now. But he doesn't do that. He does the opposite. He says in verse 26, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. He calls her a dog. I mean, look, folks, we're in the realms here of racism. I mean, let's just be clear about it. If you interpret this from a modern mindset, this is racism. He says, I'm Jewish. You're just the dogs. This is Jesus. Now, you see, what the religion of Christianity has done is it's painted Jesus in its own pretty little way. And it never deals with the nitty-gritty of what he actually said so often. But really, I want us this morning to deal with the nitty-gritty of what Jesus is saying. There's tremendous lessons in this. We know that Jesus wasn't racist, don't we? I mean, I think everyone in the room would understand that. The creator of all is definitely not racist. So what's going on? Why does he say this? He's doing it for a reason. And the reason becomes evident. He's not yielding to her straight away. And it's for her benefit. Because when someone doesn't yield straight away, they have to press in a little further. She has to press in a little further. At this point, she could be offended. I mean, think about it. Would she be within her rights to be offended at this point? Yes. He's called me a dog. He's called me a dog. Huh. Forget that. I'm off. Offense could have come in. She could have been offended. She could have said, right, that's it. I'm finished. Forget it. If this is what you call Christianity, I'm off. Following you, you must be joking. I'm off. Offense comes so quickly. But Jesus doesn't shy away from offending. I mean, there must have been 1,000 different things Jesus could have said at this point that would have been gentler, that would have been much more bridge building. He doesn't use that. He says something that is clearly, potentially very offensive. He's not going out of his way to build a bridge. I find so many people, you know, they think that churches should go out of their way to build bridge. Just go out of your way to build a bridge. Hey, listen, that's not the responsibility of the church. We should preach the gospel, but not go out of our way to build bridges necessarily. Why? Jesus wants the woman to respond in faith. And if there's faith there, this is when we'll see it evidenced. If there's real faith in action, people don't get offended. They don't have a tantrum, and they don't go into a moody. If there's real faith evident and they encounter Jesus, they're soft. And the love of God in them changes them. And they're gentle in their spirit. But so many are offended. But that just betrays what's in them. It betrays what's in them. Jesus gives an opportunity to see what's inside of her. He wants to find out what's inside. Will it be offense? Will it be faith? You see? He doesn't make it easy. He could have made it easy, but he doesn't make it easy. Look what she says. Her answer is beautiful. So beautiful. She's not offended. She doesn't get upset. She answers in faith. This is a woman of great faith. She says in verse 27, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She recognizes he is Lord. She knows who he is. And even though it may look on the surface as if he's been rude and as if he's offended her and as if he doesn't care and as if he's not chasing after her, saying, "Oh, how are you doing? Oh, I hope you're okay. Oh, fussing after her." Jesus isn't doing that. We're not called to do that as a church, folks, although people would like us to. No. She doesn't get offended. It's her faith that responds. And her faith says, "Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And that's when Jesus shows what he's really thinking. And he says to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith." Let me explain it like this. If you have a sponge, and as I will do perhaps in the next month or so, I hope, I'm going to clean my darling wife's car. And when I clean that car, I'm going to have a sponge that's filled with soapy water, and then I'm going to have a sponge that's just filled with water. And when I squeeze the soapy water sponge, bubbles are going to come out. And by the end, they're going to be quite dirty. But bubbles are going to come out because there's bubbles on the inside. But the water, the bucket of water sponge, where there's no soap suds in there, that's just going to have water. There's only water on the inside. The point is this: when you squeeze something, you find out what's on the inside of it. When the woman was squeezed, you got to find out what was in the inside. And when you are squeezed, God gets to find out what's on the inside. And he's hoping that it's faith. is hoping that it's going to be faith that's responding, not offense and whining and whinging and all the rest of that. No, he's wanting to see faith responding. I believe, and then I'll receive. Because belief precedes receiving. And so he says, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Faith receives. So he says, yes, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Isn't that beautiful? A beautiful picture. Now, when we consider this, there's a few clear lessons. First of all, humility. Humility is so important. Come with me, if you would, quickly to the book of James. Let's go into the book of James here. James chapter 4, and read these familiar verses from verse 6 about humility. And the results of humility, says this from verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in verse 10 of James 4, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he might lift you up. That's what it says, doesn't it? No. What does it say in your version? Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will. It's definite, not might. He will lift you up. Humility precedes the lifting up that God gives to us. God wants to lift some people up. Who does he lift up? He lifts up humble people. Those who are humble. Those who have humility. Those who are saying to him, yes, I want to be used by you, Lord. I want your will to be done in my life. That humble approach. This woman adopted that kind of approach. First of all, she started off with a different tract. A different way, a different track. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. She went into the eloquence of religious language. But soon she realized she was getting nowhere with Jesus on that road. Jesus isn't swayed by that type of religious language and that type of talk. Jesus goes a little bit deeper and finds out what's on the inside. And what's on the inside that Jesus responds to, the only thing he responds to. Did you know that Jesus doesn't respond to our needs? Yes, you've got needs. Jesus doesn't respond to needs. Half the world is starving. The Bible teaches us that Jesus doesn't respond to our needs. He responds to faith. It's faith that Jesus responds to. That's what causes, over and over again in the New Testament, we see faith is the thing that, it's the activator of God, not needs. Plenty of people with needs. But faith is the activator. And but so many people think it's needs. Oh, well, I need, so, you know, it's, and they equate it to human feelings and all the rest of it. No, it's faith. And she adopted quickly this humble approach. She went from the religious language to, Lord, help me. And when she did that, she was on the right route. And it wasn't too long after that. But I tell you this, if she hadn't gone down that route, what would have happened? Jesus perhaps wouldn't have answered her. He didn't answer her. He wasn't answering her. When she was staying on that religious language route, when she was trying to be that way, he's not answering, and he doesn't answer. how he answers is when people stay in faith. He answers faith. And so the beautiful truth is that if you want the best of God, you've got to be operating in faith. We heard testimonies earlier when our sister got into faith and spoke out and was in faith. Boom, she received from God. But the truth is, many times we spend our lives in a difficult position because we're reacting to the circumstances, but we're not in faith. Is this making sense this morning? My brothers and sisters, this is a great lesson for us to, you know, appropriate for our lives. This is a practical lesson of faith. I believe that this is what the Lord wants for us. Come with me briefly here, as in Romans chapter 8, if you will. Romans 8, verse 32 and verse 33. It says this: how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. See, one of the things that stops us in being in faith is that we are constantly looking at ourselves and our errors in life and our wrongs and our faults, and we feel as if we don't deserve to be in faith. We feel as if we don't deserve to receive from God. There's something innate in us that is wanting to behave right so that we receive right. And if we're not receiving in our lives, we think it's because of our bad behavior in some way. But it's not our bad behavior. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? No one can bring a charge against God's elect because the finished work of Jesus is done. And you have qualified yourself by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And if you have faith in his sacrifice, you're qualified before him. But the enemy tries to stop us living in faith and appropriating things in faith, saying things like this: you haven't prayed and fasted enough, if you're from that type of religious background. Or you haven't prayed and fasted enough. If you only pray and fast a bit more, then you'll receive. Or you haven't read your Bible enough today. You haven't prayed today. You haven't worshipped today. Oh, look, you lost your temper when you were driving the car that day. Remember that? What you did, you felt... And he tries to get us, the enemy tries to get us, any which way he can, to focus on ourselves and our behavior. And if he can get us focusing on ourselves and our behavior, that stops us focusing on Jesus Christ and his finished behavior, which was his glorious victory on the cross. Amen. And the cross ought to be in the forefront of our mind, the empty cross, the cross that Jesus was brought down from. But the cross where the great exchange took place, where he took all our sins and he imputed his righteousness into us. I'm righteous before God. The Bible says I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the elect. You, brothers and sisters, are the elect of God. The family of God. We are the people of God. But I find this, people don't appropriate things by faith because they're always in a mindset of, oh, I've got to, if I can only please God, I'm a terrible person. How dreadful I am. What a miserable, terrible type of person I am. And they're focused on their behavior and their failures rather than Jesus and his great victory. It's a wrong emphasis. In the New Testament, what we find from the book of Acts is the resurrection life being preached. It's the resurrection life. It's who we are now. In Colossians, it's the fact that we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That translation has taken place. In the New Testament, it's always past tense. It's happened. If you're a child of God, if you have faith in him as your Lord and Savior, exercise the same faith in these other areas. If you believe in him as Lord and Savior, tremendous. Then you can also use that faith to believe by his stripes you're healed. Or whatever it is that you might need in life. People say, well, everyone dies. Well, absolutely. But I heard a tremendous case for people not necessarily dying through sickness. By a Red Indian man who said that the Red Indians, even though well, would know when it was their time. And interestingly, that would be around about 120 years. And they would go off into the mountain at that time and they'd go and be with God. But they'd go not being sick. Isn't that fascinating? So God has great plans for you. God is for you. And he invites you today to have great faith as this woman did and believe on him. Believe and receive from him. The question is this. What are you doing with your faith today? What do you need in your life to be appropriated by faith today? Are you going to Jesus in that way? It's very interesting to me that this woman, part of the aspect of faith is there's a persistence. I've heard it falsely taught that, you know, well, if there's faith, you know, you ask once and that's it. Well, not necessarily the case. This woman was calling out. She was calling out. She was badgering Jesus' disciples. She was badgering them. She was spending time with them. She was making a nuisance of herself. She was about that. That was her business. I mean, she was not letting go. And so I would encourage you today, look, if there's something for your life, if there's something for your life, just keep on believing. Exercise faith. And keep on believing. And if you pray something more than once, it's not necessarily a lack of faith. You're just praying something more than once. Even Jesus prayed for a man's eyes more than once, ministered healing more than once to those eyes. So I believe he's calling us today to be people of great faith, exercising that faith in the similar way to this woman. Stand with me then, will you? As we close, and I'll ask our sister to come up. Pastor Beverly, to lead us in a song here as we close and sing this together, reflecting as we do on what is great faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, we, your people, Lord, want to exercise that faith on behalf of ourselves and others that we know of that need to receive from you today. Father God, we don't want to leave this service this morning without that having taken place. Lord, we're looking to you this morning. And we're looking to you, Father God, to minister into those lives, whatever it might be, whatever the circumstances are. Lord, we know that by faith, things can change. Circumstances can change. Even physical bodies can change when faith is appropriated. Faith in Jesus and his beautiful love for us. Thank you, Father God, then, for this morning. And Lord, I invite everyone in this room now to think of that situation in your life, whatever it might be, and believe for that. Maybe several situations. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's someone else. I want you to believe now. Exercise faith now in these moments towards the end of this service. Father God, as we think on those things, we bring them before you. We ask, Heavenly Father, for you to minister into those circumstances. Father God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Lord, we want to employ faith as a mechanic would use their tools in the carriage. We want to employ faith in that similar way. Faith in you, faith in your word, faith in your promises. Faith in Jesus, our Savior. So, Father God, we commit these things to you and ask that your will be done in and through them in Jesus' holy name. Praise be to God. If anyone wants prayer specific, please come to the front now.